What's up, everybody? Your boy, your brother in arms, Isaac Ike Feldman, is in the house.
Literally.
I am in the house. Downstairs, more specifically. I don't know why men choose the downstairs as their spot. The dungeon, the darkness, the coolness. We lurk underneath. Vid. Well, what's up, everybody? I'm doing well. Happy New Year. It's been 2 weeks, I believe, since I've recorded an Iktagon. I believe it's the perfect time to do it. 2 weeks already into the year. 50 more to go. Hope you guys are doing well. I better hold up my goal again to record 100 episodes of the Iktagon at minimum. I try not to count the interviews. I consider the podcast, the intro, the outro type of deal, event recaps, just riffing. I consider that episodes. So trying to do 100 of those this year and stay in shape, continue to be a good son, father, husband, business partner, training partner, teammate, brother, and friend, and just stay consistent. That's it. And yeah, very excited for what this year holds. Life is only getting better. When you have kids, you can feel, you can feel the pressures to make things happen, the things that you really want to happen. Because I guess people, ironically, have kids around the same time that they are trying to establish themselves for the rest of their lives. You know, that what's the window, the 20 to 40 age range, people typically have kids. And you would say that those two decades are probably the most crucial decades of some person's life. They're trying to establish themselves, make sure the hopefully 60 to 80 years after are lined up beautifully. You know, some people do go to college in their 50s and their 60s and they figure out what they want later in life, or they always knew what they wanted but they couldn't get there earlier. Maybe they had kids. Maybe they had to make ends meet, take a job for many years that they didn't like. Maybe some circumstance. Maybe they moved to a new country. People will always do what they want in one way or another, whether it's in retirement or whether it's during college. People will find a way to do what they want. And yeah, I'm thank the Lord I'm doing what I want to do. Recording, I'm healthy, feeling strong, training's going well, life is beautiful, hard work always pays off, and yeah. A lot more of the local stuff, of course. Strong Island MMA, born and bred in my blood. Went to the city to enhance and polish the media skill for a couple of years, but your boy came back to the island. Obviously a wonderful opportunity with WFAN, CBS Sports New York, CBS Sports Network nationwide, and came back to the island, started a family, got a house, luckily, amazingly, and got a job with NBC. Oh my gosh, the past experience with WFN and CBS Sports paid off. And now, spinning it forward, I finally feel the most comfortable doing exactly what I want. Writing articles, interviewing top fighters, legends, champions, young superstars. It's amazing. And I'm 15 to 20 minutes near the one of the best gyms in the world, in Sarah Jiu-Jitsu Academy. It's incredible. My wife is a martial artist. We'll get to that at a later date. And just grateful, happy, staying patient, knowing that things are going to unfold how they are supposed to, and just trust in the path, trust in the plan, staying positive, and again, always working hard. What did Michael Bisping make fun of Luke Rockhold before their UFC 199 fight? He said, believe, achieve, and go fuck yourself. He was making fun of Luke Rockhold reading the secret book. Well, I would like to add to that quote, the believe and achieve saying. It's believe, achieve, and work your fucking ass off. And I got to work better at not cursing. That is my New Year's resolution, to not curse on or off the air. I kind of sneak in a couple of curses when I go to the gym. But I am, my wife and I are working on that, not to curse. So far, so shaky. I mean, so far, so good. It's a work in progress. But, 2024 will be more progress because of the work. And 2023 was an excellent year. Always learning, always improving, always learning more about myself, always trying to be better. But on the pro UFC circuit, the fights once again were amazing. Guys, we are past the Conor McGregor era, okay? I am lucky enough that I tuned in right as it was happening, 2014, 2015, 2016, and then the Money McGregor 2017, the turn, and then the darkness versus Khabib, and then the pandemic happens, probably connected to Conor McGregor's darkness. It just encompassed the whole world. He was so dark at that point, deep in a bottle of Proper 12, deep in the pockets, smiling ear to ear, rich, a madman he was. And then he sobered up and he fought Cowboy Cerrone, UFC 246, and he looked amazing. He looked like he was a proper welterweight, not the welterweight that we saw at UFC 196 or UFC 202. He looked as if it was him versus Eddie, just pumped up a little. He looked like a proper 155 fighter against Eddie Alvarez. He looked like a proper 170 fighter. He was explosive. He was strong, quick, determined against Donald Cowboy Cerrone. That was the shoulder strike fight, and then the beautiful roundhouse kick around the guard of Cowboy Cerrone. Literally, it was wonderful performance. And then the pandemic hit. I'm screwing up my timeline. And then the pandemic hit. That was January 2020. And then the pandemic hit March, obviously. And then, yeah, he just came back. year later, and he said he didn't drink for that camp against Cerrone. I believe him. He celebrated. There's videos of him just going nuts. Well earned, though. And then Dustin Poirier, the rematch, the second one, UFC 257 in Abu Dhabi. I think that was the biggest show for the UFC at the time. I think it was 5,000 people in Fight Island. And then McGregor versus Poirier 3, UFC 264. Poirier once again looked sharp, and he was putting it on McGregor like he did at 257. Seemed like it was starting to trend in the favor of Poirier, and then McGregor cracks his leg. So, yeah, that's where we're at with McGregor. Guys, we are past the McGregor stage, okay? If I didn't just bore you with that, lay out those that freaking timeline. I do not have his Wikipedia in front of me. I'm not just reading down it. Literally, 2015, 2016. I was just talking with my boy on the phone. He was like, yo, thank you for pulling. We were in a nightclub in the city. Dancing, 8-track, heads will roll, awesome time. And all of a sudden, I see the clock. I'm following along with the fights, the results. It's about 11:15. I go, guys, we got to get out of here. Guys, I looked up. There's a UFC bar here. Guys, we got to go. They're like, all right, it's like only we're just getting started. And I'm like, nope, we got to go. We got to go. Trust me, there's this famous Irish guy that if he wins UFC 194, it's going to set the world on fire. What do you freaking know? He pulls it off against Jose Aldo. My boy was like, yo, that was cool, man. That was cool. So I'm happy that I was able to bring my circle into the McGregor prime, the rise before the UFC sale, before breaking into New York, before he boxed, before it got crazy with Khabib. I'm glad the people closest to me got to see what McGregor did, what he accomplished, what he set out to do. He spoke it, talked it, he walked it. And, yeah, I think people understand the passion. That was on volume 10, but it's always at a volume 8. And, yes, we are past the McGregor era. But the volume is still high. We can still hear the music. You have Alex Pereira. You have Alex Volkanovski. Islam Makhachev. Leon Edwards. Ilya Topor is coming out. Sean O'Malley's doing his thing. Tom Aspinall's trying to do his thing. Stipe and John Jones are still doing their damn thing. So while it's not just one gold ticket in the form of McGregor, the chips are spread out on the table. It's the same value. It's just spread out. And people may not see that. They're like, well, when's McGregor come back? Then I'll watch. Well, when's John Jones going to come back? Then I watch. If you guys are waiting for John Jones and Conor McGregor to fight, you're missing out. You are literally missing out. If you're being pulled in by Colby Covington, you're probably mentally ill. If he's the one who's pulling you in to watch cards, you're probably mentally ill. But other than that, if you're waiting for the Ronda, the Brock Lesnar, the DC out of retirement, Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, it's like, man, yeah, you're gonna be waiting a while. That's why it's very interesting. I want to see who's right. My prediction for UFC 300 is that we are going to have a big splash superstar come out of left field to maybe not be a main event, but be co-main, three-rounder, something wild. I don't know what it is. A lot of things are being teased, but it is... I think something's going to happen. I believe Ariel Helwani and was it Rick Jackman, New York Rick, Eric Jackman, I'm sorry. They both believe that this is the UFC. This is the modern day UFC. And I'm trying to think, like, are they sourpuss about something? Like, do they, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they just, they're kind of saying this is the UFC how it is. Like, you're going to sound like sports radio talk heads. Like, if you're just, I don't know, always bashing it, like always kind of pessimistic, not truly optimistic. It's been amazing to hear Ariel Helwani's like support and appreciative nature and continuous support of Francis Ngannou's boxing journey. And yeah, there is a tinge of a punching up deal with Ariel at Dana White. I get it. I've punched up to Ariel before, but I've made sure I made amends. I don't think, I don't know what Ariel will do to make amends with Dana White. Everything's been fired. I feel like Dana White's talked to God following the slapping his wife incident last January. But I would remain optimistic. I would remain truly optimistic that we are going to get something special. Yeah, the card is looking great so far. We got a we have an elite martial artist card. This is like turning into last year's Super Bowl with Kansas City and Philadelphia. What was it? 40-36, something like that. Just incredible quarterback play, incredible clean football. The game was smooth. It was literally like a 5-4 soccer elite Premier League, elite La Liga game, championships game. It was just beautifully played. I think that's what we will see with UFC 300 is just elite martial artist chess players who will make the first mistake, who will capitalize on the mistake. Are we going to see just epic performances of sheer fighting genius? I believe so. Is it going to be the bloodbath, brawl, the ground and pound? No. I feel like they're putting elite of the elite martial artists on that card. And it's very exciting to see. Very exciting to see. I would love to see Bilal Muhammad versus Shavkat Rakhmonov. I believe that's the fight. Leon is probably waiting to see what happens with UFC 297. If it's Strickland, I think he is ready to fight Strickland. I don't know if he wants to fight Duplessis. That may be too big of a challenge. If Duplessis walks through Strickland as he's been walking through Darren Till and Robert Whittaker, that may be too much. But Strickland, who doesn't wrestle, who doesn't have loads of power, I believe Leon Edwards would totally like that match. Maybe they could turn it around for UFC 300. Oh, yeah. Maybe. But that is if Strickland wins. I would love to see Islam Makhachev versus Leon Edwards, but I'm hearing that Islam is a firm believer in his religion and in Ramadan and partakes heavily in Ramadan. And April 13th, UFC 300 in Vegas is right in the midst of Ramadan, and that will not work for the UFC lightweight champion moving up to face Leon Edwards or fighting somebody. It, from what I'm hearing, it's not his style. Bilal Muhammad has trained and fought through Ramadan. Go look at his Vincent Luque performance. It was wonderful. It was dominant. It was nonstop pressure. Do they do Bilal Leon Edwards? I would say as a last resort. I would say the first resort is Nate Diaz Leon 2. You get that money fight. You get a championship fight. You get a fight that you could put at the top of the card. I think that would motivate Diaz. Also, I would say after that would be Leon versus Strickland. Yeah, it's a very, very close second. Strickland's closing the gap with the Nate Diaz's of the world, the Jorge Masvidals of the world. He's closing the gap. He gets this win. He is, I'd say he's on par with Masvidal, and he's one short step away from Diaz. If he beats, man, if he dominantly beats Dricus du Plessis, very close to that Nate Diaz, John Jones stardom. Very close. Very close. It'll be interesting. I want to know what level of superstar we get in this post-McGregor era. UFC being on the ESPN platform always helps. I hope they re-up. I hope this is a 25-year relationship. It's literally beautiful. They literally use the same freaking font. Look at it. UFC, ESPN, they use the same font. It is meant to be. It is a match made in heaven. So, enough of 2024 and looking forward and goals. Let's get to some of my awards in which I gave out on GiveMeSport.com. Shout outs to GiveMeSport.com for giving me the opportunity to give them sports content. I love the management, love the coworkers, love the team, the staff. I feel like I am in the place I am supposed to be. So let's get to some awards. UFC debut fighter of the year for 2023. Bo Nickel went 2-0 with one knockout, one sub from bursting on the scene from the Dana White Contender Series. I think he did two fights in maybe 5 or 6 weeks. Looked phenomenal. Obviously has that deep wrestling knowledge, pedigree under his belt. Looked phenomenal in 2023. Two wins, two finishes. What's next for him? A lot of people were worried that maybe he's spacing out his fights too much. He just says he wants to really work on getting better. And like you hear often, it's hard to get better when you have an opponent's name in front of you. When you're in the off season, you can do R&D, research and development, and it makes sense. I think it's a smart, wise move by Bo Nickel. He can be the Tom Brady of MMA. No joke about that. He attacks fighting as if he's like an NFL player, doesn't just see it as brutal strength or toughness or me versus you. He is studying and beating his opponents long before they ever step in the cage. And that is a professional athlete style. And yeah, sky's the limit for Mr. Bo Nickel. Very excited to see what he will do in 2024. Like I said before, high-level chess players are on UFC 300. Bo Nickel takes on Cody Brundage, UFC 300. It's going to be one of those, like, you look back, you're like, yeah, Bo Nickel was on that card. Bo Nickel was on that card. So, very, very exciting. The UFC comeback fight of the year, where one fighter was losing and then just absolutely turned the tables, like Pat Barry versus Czech Congo. Oh, my gosh. That's like the ultimate turn of the table fight in UFC history. But UFC comeback fight of the year for 2023, CJ Vergara versus Daniel Lacerda. Vergara was weathering the onslaught from Daniel Lacerda. Wheel kicks, powerful crosses, just waves and waves of offense, but somehow Vergara was able to deal with the heavy adversity and turn the tables on Lacerda. Once he cleared his head, got the cobwebs out of there. It was very terrible visual. I believe it was Jason Herzog was the referee, but Vergara is just wobbling all over. He was sprinting around the cage at one point, similar to Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz or Alexander Gustafsson versus John Jones, literally holding on for dear life, buzzed a whole bunch of times, but he is from Texas, and the fight was in Texas. He just turned the table. Lacerda's probably freaking exhausted from beating him, and amazing. Amazing performance. Go check that out. If you have the ESPN Plus UFC subscription, go check that fight out. It was beautiful violence. The UFC comeback fighter of the year, and also I believe can be a breakthrough fighter of the year in 2024, challenge for a UFC strawweight title, the female Khabib, none other than Tatiana Suarez. She is the rising flyweight contender, but yeah, did she? Yeah, is she? She did strawweight. She is the strawweight, right? Let me see that, because I know she did a flyweight fight, which is 125, but I'm pretty sure. Let's see. Yeah. She's back at strawweight. So, yeah. Imagine she's a champion at the end of 2024. That is a realistic possibility for Tatiana Suarez. She has phenomenal wrestling. She's up there with her grappling abilities in women's history with Sarah McMahon, I believe, who won a silver medalist in wrestling at the Olympics. Ronda Rousey won a bronze medalist in judo. Kayla Harrison, great wrestler. Carla Esparza, great wrestler. But Tatiana Suarez, she is long. She has great cardio. She's strong. And she seems like she fights with some type of like inner vigor that she just wants to unleash on her opponents. And it shows. 2023, 2-0, two subs. Excellent. Very, 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 very pumped for her. So, moving on. I was listening to the Anik and John, what? The John Anik and Ken Flo podcast. And, of course, with Ray Longo. They were doing their award show. And I put out my awards before them, but I was glad we were in alignment with the submission of the year. I believe Kenny Florian saw it the way I did, the smart way, the only way. My man Kenny. Alexa Grasso getting the submission over Valentina Shevchenko, UFC 285. Yeah. She broke the streak. Valentina was undefeated at flyweight. I believe she was on like a 9-fight win streak since her move to flyweight from bantamweight. And unbelievably, the quiet, the humble Alexa Grasso is the one that knocks down the Kyrgyzstanian champ. Unbelievable. Great job by Alexa Grasso. Mexico's own, Viva La Mexico, another champion for Mexico, Brenda Moreno. If you want to count Yair Rodriguez, go for it. If you want to count Cain Velasquez, sure, go for it. But Alexa Grasso got the job done. Very happy for her. My 2003 submission of the year. Go check out the John Anik and Kenny Florian and Ray Longo. At this point, Ray Longo should be in the title. Go check out their podcast. So, my knockout of the year, I believe somebody on that podcast also agreed with me on this. Israel Adesanya versus Alex Bejeda 2, UFC 287. Oh my goodness, was this a knockout? Now, some people are going with the Josh Emmett over Bryce Mitchell knockout, which was absolutely vicious and violent. But in my opinion, you have to also weigh the stakes of the knockout. For me, in 2015, Conor McGregor over Jose Aldo was the knockout of the year because there was a title on the line. You know, it wasn't the first fight of the night where nobody was in the stands, or maybe it was 5% filled the arena. No, everybody was there to see Conor, and he pulled it off. And everybody was there to see Israel Adesanya versus Alex Bejeda 2 in Miami. I was there, so you know it was big. UFC 287. Unbelievable. I'm a huge Alex Bejeda fan. Obviously love what Izzy does, but just a big fan of how, just, I don't know, Alex Bejeda's persona and stuff. But gotta tip your hat to what Izzy did. Just unfreaking believable performance by the Nigerian born New Zealand resident. Unbelievable performance, Israel. The last style bender, Adesanya, ice cold with the finish. Timed and countered Alex Bejeda. Alex Bejeda was relaxed and calm and probably had memories of the previous fights where he's in that zone and he was just waiting to find that opening and it would present itself and Izzy would break. But Izzy countered the counter. He kind of drew Bejeda in and then just snatched him with that bear trap overhand right. Beautifully landed, just ice cold. And again, Bejeda had a full training camp. Bryce Mitchell did not. This was for a belt. That fight was not. This was a main event. That fight was not. You gotta weigh in the stakes. And it was truly vicious as well. And people must not be fooled by Israel Adesanya's frame. The dude is skinny and lanky, but he has pop. Plenty of pop. So, two more categories. People were given the award to Aldana and Rosa for their incredible prelim fight, UFC 296. What else did I hear for fight of the year? I'm blanking. I heard somebody suggest, and it was a pretty good one, but it's not the fight of the year. Again, you have to weigh the circumstances. You have to weigh the implications of the winner in the fight. What does it mean? How does it affect UFC history? And to me, UFC 284's main event was my fight of the year. Islam Makhachev versus Volkanovski won. The first fight was absolutely stunning. The atmosphere was crazy in Australia. Just the crowd was just palpitating with energy. Well, the energy was palpable. What the hell am I talking backwards? Makhachev with the striking to drop Volkanovski. Volkanovski with the defensive counter wrestling. Volkanovski dropping Makhachev. Makhachev showing that he's got striking. Just a back and forth, beautiful chess match. That fight right there is what will happen on UFC 300. Just the arts at their highest sporting level. Okay? It just won't be beautifully violent. It will also be athletes on that night. That's the only way I could put it. Aljamain Sterling, Bo Nickel, Weili Zhang, Alexander Rakic, Jiří Procházka. Like, the UFC is trying to make like an all abs card. It's truly special athletes who will be fighting on that card. And that's what the UFC Fight of the Year in 2023 was for me. That is sport. Okay, if you're looking for the Diego Sanchez, Clay Guida slop fest, those are fun. Those are incredible. Those are Hall of Fame worthy. But I want to bring this sport to the Patrick Mahomes, the Tom Brady level. Toughness, yes, of course. But there has to be execution, a game plan, and beauty to it. Ilya Topuria versus Alexander Volkanovski. One of those Olympic fights. Heart, of course. Somebody may do something that shows so much heart. They may look tired. Like Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman. That is sport at its highest level. The Fighter of the Year was in the Fight of the Year. It's Islam Makhachev. I don't put too much stock into what he did against Volkanovski on short notice. He had all the advantage, absolutely all the advantage. The training camp, home turf, it's in Abu Dhabi. They love Islam there. I don't know how Volkanovski did that and then traveled, did everything he did. Absolutely incredible. But, yeah, just to show up at the fight was a win for Volkanovski. And I'm very excited to see how he does in his next fight, February 17th in Anaheim, California, against Ilya Topuria. That's a must-watch. That is truly a must-watch for any fight fan. So, yeah, not much stock into UFC 294. For me, it was, yeah, he got the job done, untouched, unscathed, another victory, another bag. But what was really amazing was his UFC 284 performance. I don't think enough people gave credit for that. I think Joe Rogan was watching it drunk or high. Maybe both, and he's just anointing Volkanovski with the win, and I don't think that was fair. That kind of skewed history a little. For mainstream fans, and Volkanovski looked great, confident, but Islam won that fight, and it was an amazing fight to see. So, those are my 2023 awards. Great talking with you guys. Thank you guys for being patient. I know I rant a little at the beginning, but it is a new year. It's been a couple weeks since I dropped one of these, and I just glad you guys are tuning in. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm about to get back to writing articles. I love you guys. Stay positive. Talk to you soon. Peace.